This episode was recorded in October 2020. If you enjoy this podcast, then subscribe to catch all future episodes. Hello, welcome to the Need to Know Music Show here on Switchbox TV with me, Ronan McManus. Today I'm joined by Jeff from The Muckers. They're a five-piece Celtic punk band from Atlanta, Georgia, that blend many different styles in with Irish music to make their sound. They're known for their raucous live shows and the pure energy coupled with catchy songs on their albums. Welcome to the show. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me, Ronan. I really appreciate it. Especially with a former Bible Code Sunday. I know you've been on the scene, so this is something that
I've fronted a band called the Bible Code Sundays. We were kind of a London Irish band, basically, doing very much similar sort of stuff to what you do, and a band that you were formerly with, the Gobshites. We've done gigs with the Gobshites before, yeah. And you were a Gobshite.
As many would say, I still am a Gobshite, but I'm not in the band anymore, if that's the question.
Yeah. So we did a few things with Dropkicks and played with the Tossers and a few bands. So it's fantastic to be chatting with someone from I do a lot of different styles on this show, so it's nice to be on home turf.
Yeah. So good to be home in your comfort zone again.
Yeah, absolutely. So how have you found the last sort of 6 months or so, the very strange kind of world we find ourselves living in? How have you found it?
Well, I am very thankful. All five of us have day jobs. So thankfully, this was not our sole source of income, and we're all able to still survive okay. I do have to tell you, we missed the stage so badly, but we're all doing our best, just wearing masks and staying home and doing everything we can to hopefully get through this. And it just had to happen right before St. Patrick's Day, when we were set to have all our big shows and make the big all the big money for the year. And thankfully we still had enough in the band fund to finish off the album, so we did get to put out our third album this year. But for the most part, we're all surviving, and we're just dying to get back on stage again.
Yeah, I mean, for those that aren't familiar with the Celtic punk scene, it's a very strong scene, and I've always been our old band were kind of very jealous of the infrastructure that's in place. We've spent a lot of time mainly in New York, Boston area, the sort of yeah. Chicago, and there's obviously a massive Irish community in that part of America. What's it like down? I mean, we never got as far as Atlanta. We didn't get very far set down south. What's it like down there? Are there plenty of bands around there? What's the scene like?
Well, one of the things that happened, the way I got into the Gobshites in Boston, and I was in several groups up there. I was in the Poor Men as well when I lived in Boston.
Oh yeah,
I'm still on great terms with both of those bands. Love Pete, love Richie. We played with them both on our summer tour last year. But when I moved to Boston, I had fronted a small band in New Orleans when I moved to Boston, and I just put up a Craigslist posting saying, like, hey, I'm a fiddle player with a specialty in Irish music, and I can do some singing, anybody want me? And within 24 hours, I had to just tell anyone who responded to that, I have too many me, I can't even consider it, because everybody in Boston wants a fiddle player. Especially an Irish fiddle player. So when I moved down to Atlanta, I did the exact same thing, and it was crickets, just absolutely no responses whatsoever. So I said, I realized there were no Irish rock bands in Atlanta. So I'm like, well, now I can be a big fish in a small pond. And I started the band, and now if you want Irish rock in Atlanta, there's really only one place to call, and it's us. There was a community down here, but it was underserved. So it ended up working out great that, all these people that wanted that type of music but didn't have it here, we were able to fill that gap. So I've been thrilled with how it's worked out for us.
Yeah, I think we were kind of, there wasn't, I mean, in London it was a similar sort of story. The Pogues kind of there wasn't much came after the Pogues in terms of big bands over here, and we kind of wanted to be the kind of Dropkick Murphys of the London scene, for the London Irish thing. But there just isn't really the infrastructure in place for it. There's plenty of Irish bands now around across the UK, and obviously the big Irish communities in Glasgow and Liverpool and Birmingham. There are good bands coming. And actually, we were doing a gig with the Gobshites when a band formed in front of our very eyes. Two guys from London decided when watching us at a gig we were doing with the Gobshites in Boston that they were going to form a band. And that they became the Lagan, who are very well known. Yep. Yeah, so there's a really strong, really strong scene. I mean, and what is great is that you find that it links up across different cities and different countries, and you end up connecting with guys from Australia and Germany and all sorts of places. And I mean, have you managed to get out of America and get around the world? Obviously, in normal times, not in this current world. But did you manage to get yourself on the road a bit?
We get on the road. We've stayed so far, you know, and it's something we've talked about, and it's just such a matter of getting the planning together and getting the money together and making it happen. And I think we're starting to get enough of a foothold that I think somewhere in the next 2 to 3 years, I would not be surprised to see us do a. And, you know, just get a nice Euro tour together for that. So that's to say it's in the works would be exaggerating. You know, we don't have anything getting booked just yet, but it's something that we're sort of building ourselves up to. And it helps too. We have a lot of friends. You know, we've booked shows for the Peelers out of Canada. We've played shows with the Rumjacks and the Ghost Set, both out of Australia. You know, so we're just building that network and getting friends who might be able, you know, what do I know about where our music is going to go over well in London? I don't know anything, but I can, now I've got people I can shoot a Facebook message over to and say, hey, where can we go that people are going to like what we do?
Well, Mike, I think we've got a mutual friend in Mike Birmingham, based out of New Jersey.
Yep, sure do.
And he's got very much involved in the scene, and he's very good friends with us. It's kind of how we got involved in the music scene was he just basically helped us out by driving the tour bus for us 1 year, then loved it, and then kind of got, and he's really good at what he does, and he's a good man to help out, and you know, we'll always help you out this side of the water in any way we possibly can. But there's some great guys, I mean, with the likes of Shite and Onions, John Murphy and Paddy Rock Radio over the years, that really do sort of, they really do make those connections and keep everybody in touch with each other's music. And that's fantastic. I mean, have you done much with the Shite and Onions, with John and with Paddy Rock Radio?
Yeah, I actually met John when I was playing with the Poor Men and Justin Keenan from the Ghost Set out of Australia was coming over. He didn't bring the whole band that time, but I think he was sort of testing the waters to see how they would do here.
Yeah, I think Mike may have been involved in that show. Mm-hmm. I think he was involved in that, yeah.
Yeah, and so I met John then, and I think he's done a review of all three of our albums. And I mean, I've known Shite and Onions for many years because my first band was a spinoff from a band in Buffalo. They were called Jackdaw, and John absolutely loved Jackdaw. He would put them on all when he was still doing mix albums, you know, a compilation albums rather of all the Irish
bands. I know the name Jackdaw,
Yeah. So I knew Shite and Onions from that. So when I actually got to meet him and start giving him albums to review, it was great. And we're pretty tight with Phil from Paddy Rock Radio. He booked us for an online festival. Feels like maybe 2 months ago we did that, a live streamed festival. Everybody, you know, us from our basement, so, you know, somebody from the living room. I think Finney from the Mahones did it from his living room.
Right, yeah. I mean, I met Phil a few years back now. Last time we were in the States, we were up in the Catskills, and Phil came up and said hello to us. We did a little interview with him there. He's a great guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's wonderful. Yeah, we met. I had met him before, but the whole band got to meet him when we did Music Fest, which is in Bethlehem, an hour or two outside of Philadelphia. And they have a huge 10-day free music festival. And we, God knows how or why, but we got into it and Phil came out. You know, I've been talking to him for years, so that's right in his backyard. So he got to come out and see us do our thing and hang out a little bit after the show.
So what the, when you get started recording stuff, you've said you just released a third album, but I wanted to bring you back to the first album. I mean, what was that like getting that off the ground where you were? I mean, did you find there was a good response to it? You were saying before there wasn't a huge, there was an unserved Irish community. How did you find that was received, changed from having the album?
That definitely helped. We knew pretty early on we were getting, thankfully in Atlanta, it seems relatively easy, you know, to get some of those starter gigs. You basically find a band that you think you'd be a good opener for and find out the right person to talk to. And there's a couple of venues in Atlanta who are willing to roll the dice on an unknown in an opening slot. And really, once that started going, and, you know, at that point, all you have to do is show up and prove you don't suck. And thankfully, I think we did that. And then, you know, that leads to the next gig, which leads to the next gig. And then this pub hears of you, and now you're playing there every 2 or 3 months. And, but we knew pretty early on, like, we needed recorded music because a lot of people down there don't know. You know, you can say, yeah, kind of like Flogging Molly and Dropkick Murphys, and that'll give people the general idea, but we really needed something that that we could hand out and show who we were. And I mean, at that time, we didn't even have a drummer. We had our friend who's done all our recording and mixing, is a fabulous drummer, and he had subbed in with us a few times. So he just did the drums for us on that album, even though he's kind of like the Pete Best of the Muckers, you know, he's the sixth mucker. And you know, at that time, that's all we had to work with. But he did a great job, made it sound beautiful. And then we had something, and then, you know, you play more shows, you sell some albums, you get some t-shirts, and you just build and build and build. And then, you know, you get more money to do an album a little better the second time and, you know, really spend some time with it and give it some loving attention. And it's just been, I know there you can hit plateaus, and I'm glad we haven't really hit a plateau yet. It just seems like we keep finding new fun things to do, new songs to record. So it's just a matter of, you know, if you're not growing, you're dying. So just keep writing, keep recording, keep coming up with new stuff.
I was going to say there's a real tradition within the Celtic punk world to kind of really mix up covers, old songs, because there's so many old Irish songs to rework.
So many to choose from.
And there's always a real mixture of new songs and then covers. People take rock songs and Irish them up, and Irish songs and rock them up, and it's a real, I mean, how do you go about choosing the songs? I mean, from your own point of view, are you writing the songs that you do, and then how do you go about choosing the covers?
It tends to be pretty organic. Like, one of our biggest songs, it's the first song on the second album. It's by a band called Deer Tick. I think they're out of maybe Providence, Rhode Island, or somewhere in New England area.
Yeah.
And, there's a big festival down here in Atlanta, called Shaky Knees. And I didn't know anything about Deer Tick, and I just went to see them, because they were on the big stage, and sure, let's go see what this band's like. And they played this song called Let's All Go to the Bar, and I'm like, that's a Muckers song. It's, you know, it's three chords, there's call and response, there's gang vocals, you know, it's, sure, they're not Irish at all, but I listened to that, I'm like, that is made for us. And I made sure I put it together. Everybody gets together in the basement. We play it through a couple of times, and then it's usually put to a vote. You know, everybody like this one. We want to keep it. Great, we keep it. And a lot of times it'll be, you know, we've started covering Salvation by the Cranberries. And that was one where it just seemed like every time we were driving home from a gig together, that would come on the radio at some point. And I'd always go, oh man, we should really cover that Steve the drummer, yeah, we should. And then a few months later, we'd be driving home from a gig and Salvation would come on and I'd go, man, we should really cover that song. Yeah, we should. And then finally, I'm like, this song's only three chords. Why are we, let's just cover the song. Why do we keep talking about it?
Yeah, I think some songs kind of, they kind of act like a kind of a persistent dog, kind of like just at your, at the bottom of your trousers, like,
argh. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, you want to play me.
Yeah, how many more hints can I drop now here, you know? So the with the song,
which, by the way,
sorry, it's just,
can you hear me?
It just froze on your cigar being out there. It's kind of really cool, a really cool shot.
Whoops.
I was gonna say it's a fairly sizable cigar. You must be doing fairly well as a band.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't cost as much as it looks like it costs, I promise.
It's just really close to the camera.
Yeah, exactly. It sticks out a few inches further than me, so it looks bigger than it is.
I must try and learn that trick.
Yeah.
So with your original music, I mean, are you writing yourself? Is that a band effort? How do you go about?
So far, I've written most of the music itself. A lot of times we'll all pitch in on lyrics. I really don't consider myself much of a lyricist. You know, I do it, and then I'm always like, man, you know, everybody hates their own stuff, right?
Your own worst critic.
Exactly. So I usually am not super satisfied with it when I get done with it, but then I put it out to the band, or I'll even have a couple of gaps, and I'll say, hey, you know, somebody help me out with this stuff. And usually they're happy to chip in. A lot of our tunes were actually co-written with Richie from the Poor Men. And I always loved that partnership because Richie is a fabulous lyricist. And so I would, you know, have a riff or some chord progression and I'd come in. I actually had an instrumental, it's called Eddie Connors now. And it was an instrumental I used to play with my trad band in New Orleans that I had written. It was called Caravan to the Coast or something like that. And I played it for him. I'm like, dude, would you guys be interested in playing this? And he said, yes, but I think this is a punk song about Whitey Bulger. And we left after practice and he came back the next week for practice and he had a full lyric sheet. And he's like, see, I told you that was a punk song about Whitey Bulger. And I'm like, well, I'll be damned. You're right.
Fantastic. So have you with your new album, how did that come about? Tell us, because obviously it's been sort of strange times. You mentioned earlier, did you finish the album in lockdown?
We had finished all the recording before lockdown hit. And so it really was just in mixing and mastering by that point. So it's almost like a relic from the before times a little bit that happened to come out during quarantine. And it's actually a little more cover heavy than we normally go on our albums. We have, I think, four songs that are fully original. And then we did a couple of rewrite the lyrics songs, which is a classic Gobshites maneuver. make it something different and funny. But we really just sort of, there's so many of the songs we do that we're just so in love with that, you know, we'll pay the royalties, you know, to be able to put these songs out with our stamp on them because we just enjoy playing them so much and want to share that.
Yeah. So what's the plan with it? I mean, I'm assuming it's out and it's available now. People will put some links on the YouTube video so people can see, can click that and go and check it out. What's the sort of plan with it? Have you done some video? Have you been able to do any videos or any promotion for it?
You know, music videos is one of the things we've been absolutely meaning to do and haven't gotten around to yet. We just need to, you know, link up with some of our videographer friends and come up with concept and do it. We have been, that is, if we had one big hole in our self-promotion, I think that would be it, that we just don't put together proper music videos and things like that. We do have a lot of live videos and we did a lot of live streaming. We did when the album finally dropped, we got everybody together on a Zoom call just like this, and we would talk about the song, how it came to be, why we recorded it, who's singing it, because we do I'm the main singer, but I only sing about 75% of the songs. Everybody in the band sings lead on that album, at least one song.
Brilliant.
So we did that, and it was everybody's first chance to get us in that on it. But music video is definitely in the works. Just, you know, it's like herding cats sometimes, just to get everybody's availability, get everybody in the same room, come up with the idea, get the videographer, go and shoot it. And, you know, we're lazy sometimes, so.
I definitely get that with the Bible Codes. You're a six-piece band, so we all had lives and jobs and wives and kids, and it's tough to get everybody in the same room. I don't think we hardly ever did any rehearsals. We kind of did everything on the stage, and it's just, I mean, it makes for some seat of the pants kind of gigs sometimes, and you know, energy levels have to be high to maybe, you know, make up for the lack of knowledge of the songs. But how have your what's your sort of plans going forward for it? Gigs started to open up there. Yeah, I mean, we're talking now mid-August now. So, I mean, here things are starting to open up, but it's not easy. I mean, what's it like over there in terms of live gigs?
Well, Georgia has done a fabulously awful job of handling this whole thing. So, and we're pretty cautious. We've had opportunities where we just didn't feel comfortable going there and playing the show. And, you know, everybody's health is paramount. And so we're just, and a lot of us have relatives who are in their 60s and 70s, and we just don't want to mess with it. We are going at about a gig a month right now, set up for the immediate future. And they're all outdoors, distanced, you know, they all meet. If anybody voted no, it would be a no. If any one of the five of us said, I'm not comfortable with it, we wouldn't do it. And in all these cases, we've all looked at the venue, and we've looked at how they're spreading their tables, and we've said, yes, we're willing to do that one. So we are getting back out there little bit by little bit. You know, we lost our summer touring, but we'll play locally for a couple of shows. And hopefully by early 2021, we can start talking seriously about St. Patrick's coming back. Because that was heartbreaking to lose.
Imagine the size of St. Patrick's 2021. I mean, that's going to be two St. Patrick's and rolled into one. Basically going to go off.
That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, I mean, the summer festival scene is massive in the US, isn't it? Across the country, There's so many big festivals, and I know a few bands that kind of didn't even do much outside of that. Just every year they went on the road in the summer.
Yeah.
That must be a huge loss to the scene.
Yeah, and it's a great time for us too, because, you know, June, July, August is absolutely miserable in Atlanta. If you don't know the geography of the United States, that's well south, you know, and this summer, of course, was lovely and mild and would have been perfect for lots of outdoor shows, and we couldn't play many. But summer is a great time for us to, you know, shoot up the coast. I'm from Buffalo, New York, which is way up north.
Yeah.
You know, more famous for our snow and our chicken wings than anything else. And it's a good excuse. You know, we get to go on tour, see my family, get some cooler weather. And then during the winter is when all the bands from the north are trying to get out of the winter, and they come down and see us, and we'll set up their shows and we'll open for them. And, you know, it's a nice exchange, which that's something I wanted to mention earlier, too, about the Celtic rock scene. One of the things I absolutely adore about it is that it's so, it's not small, but it's so niche. But that leads to such a brotherhood among the bands that do this that I just feel so close. I think it was last year, just before St. Patrick's Day, a friend of mine called and said, hey, we're going to be coming through. We're looking for a show on, I think it was March 13th. And I said, that sounds great. Let me find something. That was Mickey Rickshaw out of Boston, I think, was looking to come down. And then Hoist the Colors out of Los Angeles hit us up and said, hey, we're coming through and we're looking for a show on March 13th. And I'm like, I've got just the thing. And then Flatfoot 56 out of Chicago was coming through at that time. And the person who was booking that show hit us up and said, hey, would you guys be willing to open? I said, not only would we be willing to open, I've got two other great touring bands, touring Irish rock bands. And we just absolutely blew the windows off the place, total sellout. It's one of the most fun nights I've ever had. And it was, you know, that camaraderie where I, you know, there's no bad blood in this sector of music. Everybody just loves each other and wants to see everybody else succeed.
I mean, we wouldn't have, I mean, I could definitely vouch for that, because we wouldn't have made it out to the States if it hadn't been for the kindness of people setting up shows for us, hosting us, looking yeah. after us, letting us sleep on their floors and filling us full of drink. And we had some of the best, I mean, our wives and girlfriends just didn't believe that we were actually out there doing anything other than just having a fantastic time. And we yeah. were, in fairness. It was just, I definitely could vouch for the hospitality that we were shown on our times moving around. From that. And all the other bands, they just help you out. They lend you equipment and whatever it might, yeah. you might need to get the show done and all end up in a party together at the end. And it's just... I have to say, it was just like home from home when we come over there. So I could definitely yeah. vouch for that.
And I mean, even with the Rumjacks coming all the way from Australia, it was just, you know, they came over and it was just immediate brotherhood, everybody getting along, you know, hey, come on up and sing the song with us, you know. And, yeah. you know, and those guys are huge. You know, they're playing gigantic festivals all over Europe, but they come to, you know, little Savannah, Georgia, little coast town, and it's like they've been your best friends for years. You know, everybody's just so hospitable in this style of music.
Absolutely, 100%, yeah. Well, I'm going to move, actually moves us quite nicely onto the recommendation part of the show. We always ask everyone for a recommendation, because this is the Need to Know Music show. So, you know, we want your recommendation of a band that maybe people may not have heard of or you'd think should be checked out. And I know it's going to be tough to keep this down to below 50 bands, because yeah. you've got so many friends in the scene. But yeah, try and keep it in single figures.
I'll do my best. I've already name dropped as many as I possibly could, right? You know, yeah. Rumjacks, Hoist the Colors, the Peelers, the Mahones, all my old bands. Of course, I still love those guys and have to promote them. Jack Mahone out of Buffalo. The Poorman and the Gobshites in Boston. There's just so the Narrowbacks out of New York City set us up with a great show.
Those guys are crazy, and they're a brilliant band, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, that's just like to prove the point I was mentioning earlier. You know, we happened to play Shamrock Fest in Washington, D.C. with them years ago. And we were looking for a show in or around New York City. You know, we didn't really meet them. They're much bigger than we are, but I just shot an email to their general account and I'm like, hey, if you guys would be interested, we would love to do a show in New York City. No hesitation. He's like, yeah, we'll get you into Orleans. We'll play the show with you. It'll be a great time. And this was a Monday night that started at 10 PM and these guys had to drive from the Bronx, which I'm sure you know about traffic in New York City. Had to drive from the Bronx to come down, do this show. And, you know, they hardly knew us at all and just bent over backwards to make it happen for us. So got to shout out the Narrowbacks too. And Crack out of Cleveland and 1916 out of Rochester, New York. We did some touring with those guys. Fabulous, fabulous music. I'll stop myself there because I could run you out of time just talking about all the bands I love in this scene.
So have you guys got plans for any more? You mentioned live streams before. I mean, where can people check out your, I mean, do you have any plans for live streams, or do you have any recordings of them that people could go and check out?
We have a couple more festivals coming up, but they haven't been announced yet. And I don't know when this is going to air. So I don't know if I should say what they are, but we will have a few more live stream festivals coming. And I think one of the things we were talking about doing is do the, for the ones that are pre-recording, get together, do the pre-recorded set, and then just, we're already there, we're already in costume, we've got all the sound and lights set up in my gorgeous bunker underneath my house, also known as my basement, my unfinished basement. Why not just do a live stream while we're down there anyway? So that's the plan. And early in the in the quarantines, I was just doing my back deck because April and May are gorgeous in Atlanta. So I'd literally just set up on my back deck about 45 minutes before the sun went down, and then just play some songs. The sun would go down. It would switch from, you know, the natural light to the patio lights. And I had a great time, had plenty of, you know, all the people that come to our shows were in there putting in requests and had an absolute blast with it.
Yeah, I did a very similar thing. Actually, I did the St. Patrick's Day was the first time I went live without announcing. I just went, I need to do some singing on this day.
So. Yeah, exactly. I'm not singing right now.
Yeah. But it turns out everybody was at home with a pint in their hand, so it was perfect, you know. And then, yes. And you see all the names coming up, you see all the requests coming up, and it's all their interaction, and it was just absolutely, I kept it going and did every Tuesday. I'm still doing it now every Tuesday. But it's just fantastic. So how can people follow on your socials? We'll put the social media things on there. What's the best place for people to find out all what's going on with you guys?
We try to, you know, use all the social media in the way it's meant to be used. So if you're looking for where to see us live, Facebook is probably your best bet because they have the event listings. If you're looking to just see our beautiful faces, Instagram's there. And if you're looking for me getting snarky, Twitter's your place. And we've, you know, if you want to hear the recorded music, we're on everything, Spotify, iTunes, Amazon, Google Play. And Facebook is usually where we stream live from rather than Instagram, just because we, you know, our demographic tends to be more on Facebook than they are on Instagram. So that's just go where the people are if you want to play for them.
And what's the new album called?
It's called Irish Goodbye.
Irish Goodbye, right, fantastic. By the Muckers. And look, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. And let's keep in touch. If you need to come over to London, you know where I am, just reach out and say hello, and we'll put you in touch with people over here. It'd be great to see you.
Careful about that offer, because I am going to take you up on that. So,
listen, thank you so much for joining us, Jeff, and good luck with everything you're doing. Good luck with your new album and getting back on the stage sooner rather than later.
Thank you, Ronan. Really appreciate you having us on. Like, great to meet you finally, and really, really appreciate you. You helping boost our signal a little bit.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jeff. Take care. Thank
you. You too.